Here's your latest weekly briefing from the Population Research Institute at pop.org. Catholic Women's College comes to its senses, and other Catholic institutions should do the same. On November 21st, 2023, Katie Conboy, president of St. Mary's College in Indiana, informed the campus community that the school would be boarding the tranny train. It would now consider admission, she said, not only for undergraduate applicants whose sex is female, but also for those, and I quote, who consistently live and identify as women, end quote. Quoting here, we are by no means the first Catholic women's college to adopt a policy with this scope, Conboy wrote, according to The Observer, the student newspaper. In drafting the language for this update, I have relied on the guidance of the executive team and others to ensure that our message is not only in line with the best practices for today's college students, but that it also encompasses our commitment to operate as a Catholic women's college, end quote. Bishop Kevin Rhodes, Bishop of the Diocese of Fort Wayne South Bend, was not convinced. Less than a week later, on November 27th, the bishop addressed the policy change in a statement that spelled out, for the theologically challenged Conboy, the purpose of a Catholic college and the role of the bishop in preserving the institution's Catholic character. It is disappointing that I, as a bishop of the diocese in which St. Mary's College is located, was not included or consulted on a matter of important Catholic teaching, he wrote. Bishops have a particular responsibility to promote and assist in the preservation and strengthening of the Catholic identity of the Catholic colleges and universities in their dioceses, and he refers here to Pope John Paul II's encyclical Ex Corde Ecclesiae. Bishop Rhodes went on to articulate the character of that Catholic identity, outlining the responsibility of St. Mary's to uphold the teachings of the Church. One of the four essential characteristics of a Catholic college or university is fidelity to the Christian message as it comes to us through the Church. This institutional fidelity includes a recognition of and adherence to the teaching authority of the Church in matters of faith and morals, he wrote. Then he issued the de facto anathema. In this new admissions policy, St. Mary's departs from fundamental Catholic teaching on the nature of woman and thus compromises its very identity as a Catholic women's college. To call itself a women's college and to admit male students who consistently live and identify as women suggests that the college affirms an ideology of gender that separates sex from gender and claims that sexual identity is based on the subjective experience of the individual. This ideology is at odds with Catholic teaching. End quote. Bishop Rhodes then cites the words of Pope Francis. In his apostolic exhortation Amoris Laetitia, Pope Francis wrote, "It needs to be emphasized that biological sex and the sociocultural role of sex, gender, can be distinguished but not separated. It is one thing to be understanding of human weakness and the complexities of life, and another to accept ideologies that attempt to sunder what are inseparable aspects of reality. Let us not fall into the sin of trying to replace the Creator. We are creatures and not omnipotent. Creation is prior to us and must be received as a gift," end quote. The desire of St. Mary's College to show hospitality to people who identify as transgender is not the problem, the bishop concluded. The problem is a Catholic women's college embracing a definition of woman that is not Catholic, end quote. It took a full month for the Board of Trustees to reconsider its rash action in light of church teaching. Finally, on December 21st, Dr. Conboy and Board Chairman Maureen Caron-Smith announced the college was returning to its earlier admissions policy. Their self-pitying statement does not mention Catholic teaching at all, but complains that they were just trying to be loving, just, and inclusive. And I quote, "When the board approved this update, we viewed it as a reflection of our college's commitment to live our Catholic values as a loving and just community," they wrote. "We believed it affirmed our identity as an inclusive Catholic women's college. It is increasingly clear, however, that the position we took is not shared by all members of our community." Well, that's putting it mildly. The November announcement caused a tsunami of protests. The St. Mary's community comprises a tight-knit and vibrant band, not only of alumni and supporters, but Sisters of the Holy Cross, the community that founded the college in 1844, 2 years after Priests of the Holy Cross founded the University of Notre Dame across the street. Notre Dame famously declared its independence from the Catholic Church in 1967, counting on the tens of millions a year in taxpayer funding and millions more from their Fighting Irish sports franchises to insulate them from alumni anger. St. Mary's has no such safety net to protect it from the outrage of students, parents, and supporters. Perhaps the prospect of seeing chemically or anatomically altered males crowding out the women on the college's 8 varsity athletic teams was just too much. Or perhaps it was the thought of unaltered males showering with their daughters. This return to sanity did not please everyone. Father Daniel P. Horan, Order of Franciscans Minor, director of the school's Center for the Study of Spirituality and professor of philosophy and theology, told the National Catholic Reporter, and I quote, "I believe that this reversal goes against our identity as a Catholic women's college," end quote. Of course, Father Horan is apparently confused as to what a woman is, since he recently posted on X, formerly known as Twitter, that trans women are women, trans men are men, non-binary people are people. Just because it's a new or confusing thing to you doesn't make it untrue or wrong or sinful or anything other than reality. Instead of denying the existence and experience of others, perhaps you might try learning. So for Father Horan, reality can be whatever we pretend it to be. While Dr. Conboy insists that despite the reversal of her earlier decision, St. Mary's College is profoundly informed by our journey towards equity, inclusion, and justice, she does not refer to the statement of Bishop Rhodes at all. Perhaps she doesn't have to. She is undoubtedly painfully aware that canon law gives the diocesan ordinary, and not to the university, the right and the duty to bestow and to remove the name Catholic from any institution or endeavor in his diocese, Canon 216. There is recent precedent. In 2009, Arlington Bishop Paul Laverty announced that Notre Dame Academy was no longer a Roman Catholic organization functioning in accordance with the traditions and teachings of the Roman Catholic Church, end quote. The Academy, founded in Middleburg, Virginia by the Sisters of Notre Dame in 1965, had changed its charter and was now governed by a lay board of trustees. Bishop Laverty thus announced that the school will no longer have the Blessed Sacrament reserved in its chapel, and the diocese will not be able to guarantee the quality or authenticity of religious or other instruction. Bishop Laverty saves the best till last. "I have strongly suggested to the chairman that the board of trustees consider changing the name of the school. The title Notre Dame, Our Lady, is so closely associated with our Catholic faith, the continued use of the name would undoubtedly be a cause of confusion to potential students and their families." The new board of trustees complied with the bishop's request, and today the school is known as Middleburg Academy. it is time for the entire Catholic college community to contemplate the words of Bishops Rhodes and Laverty and restore the truly Catholic character of their institutions. Or if not, stop lying about it for student admissions and financial gain. This has been your latest weekly briefing from the Population Research Institute at pop.org. Thanks for listening.